Good to be here. We thankful to see each one. We love Brother and Sister Keller. Pastored the church there in Streamwood for 17 and a half years. Been gone 21, and now we're back. It's a church I was ordained out of. I appreciate Brother Keller so much. Both of my parents passed away while Brother Keller was the pastor in Streamwood, and he was such a blessing during that time, and was such a wonderful pastor to both my mom and dad. You know, like you just said, he performed the ceremony for my son and daughter-in-law. Thankfully, he's just been a blessing. We went to some Cub games, and he's been a blessing. But we're thankful to be here tonight. It's good to see each one. It just thrilled my heart to see Brother and Sister Tweet. They too have been such a blessing, and we have so much respect and appreciation for them. I'd like tonight to turn to Psalm 46. Also, I want to thank the church here for your generous support. It means so much. My wife and I, the Lord has just provided as only He can. And we thank the Lord for you all. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, based upon what he just said, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof, that is of the sea, roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Oh, that we would do that. Behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We are not told the author of this psalm. We are not given the precise occasion or time or place of the psalm. One of the most amazing features of the psalms is their relevancy to our lives. We can always put ourselves in the psalm. The Psalms are God-designed so that you and I can put ourselves in them, make application to our circumstances, whatever those circumstances might be. And this is certainly true of this 46th Psalm. The emphasis of the Psalm is the overwhelming fact of God. It is a song of praise to God. It is a song of worship. It is a song of adoration. It is a song of reverence to the Lord. It is a song of faith. It is a song of absolutes. It is a song of confidence and assurance in God. As you read the psalm, there is a calm-inducing power in its words. It's a psalm in which we can find assurance. We can find comfort, strength, security, peace, refreshment, victory, encouragement, conviction, courage, energy for our soul. It is a psalm that ought to strengthen our faith. It is a psalm that ought to strengthen the resolve of every child of God sitting here this evening. It serves as a tremendous reminder to you and I again of the overwhelming fact of God. And in such, there's much instruction for you and I. There's exhortation. There's application to each of us. The fact of God is something that we often lose sight of in the process of living life. We have this tendency to let life get in the way of God. And by we, I mean you and I who believe doctrinal truth concerning the person of God. The more that we realize, the more that we are aware of the truth and the reality of this psalm, the happier you and I will be. Amen. And the more useful we will be. And the more faithful we will become. We desperately need to live in the reality of this psalm. We need to daily experience this psalm. Know that we would go from here this evening with this 46th psalm gripping our hearts. Our subject tonight is the overwhelming fact of God. The first thing I want to consider is the setting and the circumstances of the psalm. Though we are not told the specific circumstances of the psalm, there are several statements that are made throughout the psalm that paint the setting of the psalm. For example, the psalm opens with, God is our refuge. It is stated again in verse 7 and verse 11. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Notice God is our refuge. God is refuge. It is present tense. Refuge. Refuge is indicative of what? Storm. Danger. Need. So I believe we can say that the psalm is set in a setting of storm, danger, or need. Also in verse 1, again present tense, he's referred to as our strength. Indicative of our weakness. Indicative of our inability. He is also presented in verse 1, again, present tense, a very present help. Amen. Suggestive of what? Need. Need. There's also in verse 1 the word trouble. Suggestive of pressure. Feel any pressure? Suggestive of distress and problems and difficulties and trials and grief, sufferings and burdens. And notice in verse 1, it is not only trouble, it's in trouble. There's a big difference. There's trouble out there and being in trouble. And it's in trouble. The specifics of the trouble are not stated. So you see, again, you can easily put yourself in that. That is, whatever it is you're troubled, it's covered here. The specifics are not stated. Trouble can be of great variety. We can cause our own troubles. We do many times. It can be in the realm of the physical. It can be in the realm of the emotional, the realm of the spiritual. It can be all three. But there's trouble. It's different degrees of trouble. It's different duration of trouble. And then he moves on in verse 2, and we see the resolve of the psalmist. He says, therefore, going back to verse 1, therefore, as a result of who and what God is. Again, he's our refuge, he's our strength, he's our very present in trouble and hell. As a result of that, will not we fear? I won't be afraid. Well, that immediately suggests that it is a time of fear. Also in verses 2 and 3, you have some images. There's the earth and the mountains. Things that you and I think to be very stable. They represent things that we can count upon. But then he presents a hypothetical situation. They're moved. Though the earth be removed, that's scary stuff. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that's some scary stuff. It's a picture of great upheaval. It's a picture of disturbance. It conveys the idea of disruption. It conveys the idea of pandemonium. If the mountains start falling into the sea, there's going to be pandemonium. It's chaos. It's change. He goes on to say, verse 3, though... Four times he uses the word though in verses 2 and 3. Though the waters thereof, that is the sea, roar and be troubled or agitated, and though the mountains shake, that is though the mountains begin to vibrate and the mountains begin to totter and they become a state of instability. Again, that's scary stuff. It's a picture of that which is sudden. It's a picture of you can't really do anything about it. If the mountain starts falling in the sea, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Well, we need to form a committee. Form all the committees you want. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. This paints the setting of this psalm. What I see here is everything is spinning out of control. Sound familiar? Everything seems to be falling apart. In verse 5, speaking of Jerusalem, there are the words, she shall not be moved, indicative of a present threat. And then we read, and God shall help her, indicative of need. In verse 6, the heathen raged. That is, the heathen roared, speaking of the agitation and the fury and the wrath and the outrage and the resentment that the ungodly have. And then there are the words, the kingdoms were moved, conveying the idea of violence, conveying the idea of overthrow. Verses 8 and 9. The psalmist calls our attention to the works of the Lord, and this is for our encouragement. And in doing that, there are the words desolations. There is the word wars, battles and struggles. There is the spear and the chariot, emblems of enemy power and force. And then in verse 10, we read again of the heathen. And then we read the words of God, I will be exalted. Suggesting that God is being discredited and dishonored by the heathen. So from all this, I believe we can get an idea of the setting of the song. The setting is one of crisis. It's one of disaster and calamity. Dire, dire straits. That brings us to our second point, the focus and the theme of the song. A truth that needs to grip our hearts and lives is that the focus and the theme of the song is not the circumstances. It is not. That's not the thing. That's not the focus. The theme, the subject, the focus of the psalm is established in the first two words of the psalm. God is! There's your theme. The circumstances are not the theme. The circumstances are not the focus. And then the last thought of the psalm is, the Lord of hosts is the God of Jacob is. So the psalm begins with God is. And the psalm ends with God is. And everything in between establishes this fact. So we have the overwhelming fact, God is. And this is developed and enlarged upon throughout the psalm. So in a setting of crisis, in a setting of calamity, in a setting of dire straits, the focus is God is. That's the focus. God is. Our lives are not to be shaped by our circumstances. Our lives are not to be shaped by the scary stuff that is happening. Our lives are to be shaped by God is. That needs to be our focus. God is. So let's look at this. The focus is God. As you read the psalm, you'll notice if you count that the name God occurs 7 times. The name Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, occurs 3 times. There is the title, Most High, 1 time. There is the personal pronoun him or he 5 times. And the personal pronoun I referring to him 3 times. Add all that up, 19 references to God. Who's the focus? God. What's the subject? God. So what is the psalmist doing in this setting of dire straits? He's directing our attention to God. That's our focus. Oh, we've got to elect so-and-so as governor. We've got to elect so-and-so as president. As if that's going to fix your problems.
That's right.
That's not the focus.
That's right.
The focus is God. The focus is not the Democrats. The focus is not the Republicans. The focus is God. Oh, that we would grasp that truth. And I'm afraid many haven't. I'll tell you something, this may make some of you mad. But the Republican Party is not equivalent to Jesus Christ. It's not. So in the verses 2 and 3, you have these catastrophic happenings. But where's the focus? God. Not on the catastrophic happenings. God. I challenge you. Again, this may make some of you mad. You may lecture me later on in the week. That's fine. Start your day with God. And not Fox News or whatever news program you may watch. Right. Start with God.
That's right. Amen.
Turn that TV off.
Amen.
Turn the commentary on the news. That's what it is. Commentary on the news. There is no news.
That's right. Amen.
Turn it off. But God's people today, they feed upon that. They digest that. That's all they think about. And God is relegated to the background.
That's right.
And we become useless.
Amen.
That's what I see is happening.
Yep.
I don't watch it anymore. Oh, how do you keep up? I read an article every now and then. But I'm not going to immerse myself in
That's
that
right.
anymore.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
We read in verses 1 and 5. God is. Verses 7 and 11, the Lord of hosts is. And the God of Jacob is. Six times it is emphatically declared, God is. God is. And guess what? This is regardless of what's going on. God is. Four times in verses 2 and 3 you have the word though. The word though means regardless. Regardless of the fact, regardless of what's going on, or however, or nevertheless, it is though that which appears to be most stable can be shaken and destroyed, the overwhelming fact is God is. The fact and the existence and the reality and the certainty of God is never threatened. I don't think there's a lot of God's people that know that. Well, you see what the Democrats are doing now. It doesn't affect God. Quit acting like it does. Quit acting like God's throne is being threatened. Quit acting like the sovereignty of God is being threatened. He's called the Most High in verse 4. Nothing equivalent to Him. Doctrinally, every one of us here believe that He is the Most High. But is that our focus? Is that our practice in everyday life? Is that the focus of our thoughts and our opinions? He's the Most High. What does that mean? It means that He's more than. He's more than whatever else is going on. He's more than that.
Amen.
And that's where your focus needs to be. God help us. Notice also, this God is active. Verse 5, you'll notice the words, God shall. I'm glad God shall. I'm glad. Verse 6, He uttered His voice. In verse 8, we read of the works of the Lord. Also in verse 8, you see that phrase, He hath made. And then if you drop down to verse 9, You see, he maketh, he breaketh, he cutteth, he burneth. Where's the focus? God. It's upon him. In verse 10, I will be. Throughout God, throughout the psalm, God is seen working in the past, the present, and the future. He's no distant spectator, wringing his hands, hoping everything turns out. He's God.
Amen.
This God is relevant to our lives. And here's where I think a lot of our problem is. He's not. He's relevant to our lives. This is manifested throughout the psalm by the use of personal pronouns in relation and connection to God. You notice the personal pronoun our. God is our refuge. He's my refuge. You notice the word our in verse 7 and verse 11. In verse 2, we see we and her, referring to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. She in verse 5, us in verses 7 and 11. All through the psalm, what we're seeing here is he's what we need. He's what we need. That's true tonight. That'll be true tomorrow.
Amen.
He's what we need. This God is present with us. God is, verse 1, very present. God is a very present help. It doesn't just say God is a help. It says a very present help. And doesn't just say God is a present help. It says he's a very present help. His presence is more real and powerful than the disruption, than the turbulence, than the pandemonium, than the chaos. We read in verse 5, God, the one who is our refuge, the one who is our strength, the one who is our help, the one who is the Most High, is in the midst. He's in the midst. So it looks to me like he's the one we ought to be focusing upon. Verses 7 and 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. Our refuge and strength and help, what this psalm is telling us, he's there. He's there. God, there. He's there. That needs to be our focus. Our third point is that there is a call from God to us. Oh, that we would hear this call.
Amen.
As you read the psalm, there's a very orderly flow. There is a progression of thought concerning God, verses 1 through 9. Progression of thought concerning God. In verses 1 through 9, the psalmist declares with a tone of conviction and assurance wonderful and glorious truths about God. And he picks this up again in verse 11. But in verse 10, the flow is interrupted. You read verses 1 through 9. God is being spoken of. But you come to verse 10, God's speaking. God speaking. And then verse 11, the psalmist picks up talking about God again. But in verse 10, there is this God interruption. Oh, that God would interrupt our lives.
Amen.
And here's what he says. I am God. He's affirming everything that the psalmist said of him.
Right.
It is one thing for you and I to speak doctrinal truths of God, but it's another thing for God to say, I am God.
Yep.
We all need to be reminded of that every now and then, don't we?
Yeah, right.
When we're trying to fix something, we need to hear God say, hey, I'm God.
Amen.
And you're not. Two simple truths. He's God, we're not.
Amen.
We lose sight of those things. We get them mixed up sometimes. So hear God say, I am God. What's he calling us to do there? When God interrupts our lives and says, I'm God, what's he doing? He's calling our attention to him. He's calling us to take notice of him. Again, it's our tendency. It's human nature to be unmindful and oblivious of God. To get so busy, so caught up, so distracted and tangled with the affairs of life, that we become blind to God and deaf to God. So caught up in the news that we become blind and deaf to God. Oh, brother, did you read such and such?
Yes.
Do you see what they're trying to do now? Did you read that? And the whole day is taken up with it.
Yep.
Hear God say, I'm God. I'm God. Get your attention on me.
Amen.
Oh, how busy it is. How easy we get entangled. And we become blind and deaf.
Amen.
To yet God. Yet God in his mercy and goodness directs our attention to himself. I am God. At times, we find ourselves surrounded by the happenings of verses 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And we need to hear God say, I'm God. Causing us to take notice. I'm not trying to undermine the crisis that we're in. That's not what I'm trying to do. We live in a crisis. There's world crisis, there's national crisis, there's political crisis, there's economic crisis, there's moral crisis. There may be personal crisis. It is a critical hour. But here's my point. That's not the focus. That's not where we begin. The focus is God. I am God. When you're in the midst of a storm, you need to hear those words, I am God. When you're in the midst of danger and need and weakness and inability and burdens and difficulties and problems, oh, how we need to hear, I am God. I am God. While the heathen are spewing their agitation, that's not our focus. While they're spewing their fury and their wrath and their outrage and their resentment toward God and His people, that is not to be our focus. But in the midst of all that, hear God say, I am God. Pay attention to me. I am God. In the midst of all the theories, people have all kinds of theories, philosophies. You know, I've often said that nutty ideas, crazy people have always been But you know what? Today, they have a means of finding each other.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
They do. It's called the computer. Facebook. These nuts find each other. And they feed each other. And the sad thing is, God's people fall into the trap. I am God. Whatever your condition here is tonight, you need to hear God say, I am God.
Amen.
That needs to grip your heart. But notice what he says here in verse 10. Be still. Be still. Be still. In light of the fact that I am God, be still. Notice it's a command. Be. It's a state of being. We're to become something. What is the state of being? Still. Be still. What does that mean? Calm confidence. Well, how can I be calm? I'm God. Because I'm God. Well, the man I voted for isn't in office. I can't be confident. Really? I'm God.
Amen.
Be still. That's a state of surrender. We need to be surrendered. Why? Because I'm God. What other reason do you need? I'm God. So in the constant movement, the earth removed, the mountains carried in the midst of the sea, the waters roaring, troubled, the mountains shake. Be still. Be still. Well, that's easier said than done. But if you know He's God, you can do it. If that's the focus, you can do it. If your focus is CNN or Fox News, you'll toss and turn all night. But if your focus is God, you can be still. You can be calm. Be calm. Be still. I believe that's a command to take our proper place before God. Notice what he says. Notice what it says here in verse 10. Be still and know. But then notice the next word. Be still and know that. Be still and know that. That little word that introduces something very specific. What's the specific? I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Recognize, be aware that I am God. Be confident, be persuaded, be certain, be absolutely assured I am God. So it is a call to an awareness of who God is. Be still and know that I am God. Well, but, be still and know that I am God. Well, what if? Be still and know that I am God. Well, you don't. Be still and know that I am God. But did you hear what? Be still and know that I am God. It is a call to faith. We believe that doctrinally, He's God.
Yes, He is.
But how many of us really believe it?
Right.
In our lives? No. How can you know that? Be still. There's an order here. Right. Be still and know. The implication is you can't know unless you be still. And you won't be still unless you know He's God.
Amen.
God needs to be our focus.
Yes,
I see it all the time. You do too. People's focus is skewed. I'm talking about God's people. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about you and I. So when he says, be still and know that I am God, it's a call to acknowledge that he is God. We have this spiritually destructive habit of thinking politically. I'm not saying politics aren't important. That's not what I'm saying. Maybe that's what you heard, but that's not what I said. We have that spiritually destructive habit. But God says, be still and know that I'm God. What's he telling us? Think God. Thank God. Just thank God.
Amen.
That needs to be our thought pattern. God. God. So we need to ask ourselves, where do we begin? Where do we begin our day? Is it God? Or is it our circumstances? So as you read through this 46th Psalm, the psalmist doesn't get stuck in the distress and the problems and the difficulties and the trials of life. I've heard Brother Keller say many times, I've said it many times, and many others have as well. You have a road.
Ditch on the left, there's a ditch on the right. You can fall in either ditch.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. Whether you fall in a ditch on the left or whether you fall in a ditch on the right, you're in a ditch. And you become useless.
Amen.
And I'm afraid that's where many of God's people are today.
That's right.
They have fallen in the ditch. They are stuck.
It can be in their own personal problems. It can be in world affairs. It can be anything. Don't get stuck. How do we not get stuck? Thank God. I don't know how your mind works. I sometimes get in these loops.
About to drive you crazy. Get in a thought loop. You need to break that loop. Because it's not good. How do you break the loop? Thank God. Thank God. And that's what we need to do.
Amen.
We get all upset about something, and it's going to ruin our day. Get out of that loop. Don't get stuck there. Thank God. Focus upon God. So this 46th Psalm, it's the writing of one living life focused upon God. Oh, that would be us today.
Amen.
His life has been impacted by God. What's your life more impacted by? Your circumstances or God? World affairs? National affairs? Or God? What is it that's impacting us? The brother already said, preaching the gospel. That's what we're here for.
Amen.
It's not my calling to make my neighbor a Republican. That's not my calling.
Amen.
To preach the gospel. The focus.
Yep.
Is to be God. It's just like if a missionary goes to a foreign country. It's not his country. It's not his calling to Americanize that country. That's not his calling. That's not what he's there for. He's there to preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's the writing of one who's very aware of God. And I want to end tonight with this. In verse 10, again, God interrupts. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted.
Amen. Yes, He will.
Amen. Yes, He will. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing threatens it. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then the psalmist repeats word for word in verse 11 what he said in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But I want to tell you something. Though he repeated the very same words, I don't believe he did so in the same tone. Because he's heard, I'm God.
Amen.
I'm God. Oh yes, you and I can say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But you have God interrupt your life, you'll say those words quite a bit differently.
Amen.
You'll say it with a completely different spirit. I mean, I like the psalmist's spirit throughout the psalm, throughout verses 1 through 9. But I believe he's got a completely different spirit in verse 11.
Amen.
Because he's heard from God. God help us tonight. I'm greatly concerned about a lot of things. For my grandchildren, I could go on, but that's not my point. I can't get stuck there.
Amen.
Because if I do, I become useless in the service of God.
Amen.
And that's not my nature. My nature is to get stuck there. God help us to focus upon God. As we converse with one another, that our focus would be God. It would just be God. Not fixing the world, but just God is. I pray that we would go from here tonight knowing that wonderful truth.
Amen.
Brother Kelly.
Amen.